الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: ولما توجه تلقاء مدين قال عسى ربي أن يهديني سواء السبيل. ولما ورد ماء مدين وجد عليه أمة من الناس يسقون، ووجد من دونه ممرأتين تذودان، قال فما خطبكما؟ قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's khutbah, inshallah, I'll be speaking to you about a few ayat that belong to Surah Al-Qasas. Surah Al-Qasas is one of the many surahs in which Allah tells the story of Musa alayhi salam, and a unique part of his life is mentioned in Surah Al-Qasas that's not mentioned anywhere else in this way. And that is the story of how Musa alayhi salam got married. Now, there is no other prophet in the Quran about who we get the story, about whom we get the story of how they got married, except Musa alayhi salam. That's it. It's the only prophet. And every story in the Quran has purpose, divine purpose. Allah selectively chose these stories for our guidance. So of all the stories, like, there are marriages happening every day, and there are, you know, hundreds of thousands of prophets in history, and many, several dozen of them have been mentioned in the Quran, and none of their marriages are talked about in the way that the marriage of Musa alayhi salam is talked about. So the wisdom in that is that we should be seeking wisdom about marriage itself from this story. Allah did not just tell us these stories in vain, or not just for interesting facts, but every part of the story gives us some principles, gives us some guidance. And in these next less than 20 minutes, I'm going to share with you some parts of that story and some things we might be able to learn from that story. The first thing to note is that it's a very unusual marriage. What makes it unusual? Musa alayhi salam accidentally, he was trying to stop a police officer from hurting someone, and he got in the middle of the fight and he threw a punch a little too hard and the police officer died. And I'm fast forwarding, now he is wanted for murder in Egypt. So he's considered a criminal, and the order given to the police is shoot on sight. They're not interested in arresting Musa alayhi salam. They are going to, if they find him, they will kill him and ask questions later. So that's the idea. Now, knowing that, one of his friends told him, in the Quran we learned this, إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ, in the same surah, Surah Al-Qasas, that the police chiefs have already made a secret plan to kill you. So don't turn yourself in to the police, because the police have decided there's not going to be a trial. You're not going to court. You're not going to jail. You're going to be killed. They will kill you. So he runs away. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. He runs away from Egypt. He runs away from Egypt into the desert. And in the desert, there are no roads. There's no way you know where you're going. But Allah guided him, and Allah says, وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنَ, when his face turned exactly in the direction of Madian, قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَن يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ, he said, maybe, hopefully, my Rabb will guide me to the most straight path. And he doesn't even know that he's facing Madian. Madian is many, many, many days of, maybe weeks of travel away. But he just turned his face in a certain direction, and Allah just put in his heart to make this dua, and he went in that direction. Now, you know something about the desert. If you go 1 degree off, you might end up making a giant circle. You end up where you started. You will have no idea if you're going the right way or not. And yet somehow he finally reaches, and Allah describes, وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدِيَ. So what the background that I want to emphasize is that Musa alayhi salam is number one wanted criminal right now in Egypt. And if you find him, you better tell the authorities. So he escaped the world's biggest superpower right now. Two, he's homeless. He has no job. He has no money. He has no other food, nothing. And he reaches this lake near Madian, and he finally finds a rock or a tree, and he sits under the tree to relax. And when he relaxes, he sees people are bringing their sheep and their goats and their cows, and they're giving their animals water from obviously it's the desert, so very few places that have water, they're going to bring their animals to give them water. And he's watching this scene. So he says, Allah Azza wa Jalla describes, وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. When he reached the waters of Madian, he saw a group of people, they were giving their animals water. And then he says, وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمْ إِمْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانَ. He saw two women far away, and they were pulling on their animals. Their animals want to drink, and the girls are not letting them drink. So all the men are giving their animals food, drinking, and the two women are pulling their animals back, but the goat wants to drink and is fighting with the two girls. So he leaves the shade, and he went up to them and said, مَا خَطْبُكُمَا. What's wrong with both of you? What's your story? Why are you doing this? And so they were tough, and they responded to him. They said, لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْتِرَ الرِّعَاءَ. We're not going to give our animals water until all the other men and all their animals are done. We don't go down there, and we don't want to be alongside these other men. What is Allah telling us? Those men were not very respectful towards women. And if they go down there, they will be inappropriate, and they will behave badly towards them. They will harass them. They will, you know, say things to them, behave a certain way. They're protecting themselves by keeping themselves back until those men are done, because they don't know how to be around women. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us a story about women that are living in a situation where it's very difficult for them to earn a living. They basically work in a farm, they take care of animals, but they live in a society that doesn't respect women. And it's harder for them to make the living than it is for the men. They have to do twice, three times the work because they have to hold the animals back. Musa alayhi salam sees this whole scene. He grabs the animals and he gets them food. He gets them to drink. And then he brings the animals back. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. So he gave the both of those girls animals the drink, brought them back, and then he went back and sat down in the shade. And he says, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِن رَبِّي فَقِيرٌ. Right? So he says, رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ rather. He says, Ya Allah, whatever good you send my way, I'm faqir. I need it. The word faqir means two things. Faqir means someone who's bankrupt, someone who has nothing. Faqir, faqr also means when your back is broken. If somebody put so much pressure on your back that your back snapped, that means completely helpless. And what is Musa alayhi salam asking Allah? He's telling Allah, Ya Allah, I have no food, I have no money, I have no job, I have no safety, I have nothing. So whatever you give me, I will take it. I will not be picky. I will not say, well, yes, you gave me this water, but I really like apple juice, so I'll wait until I get some apple. He's not going to have this kind of attitude. Whatever Allah gives, you know, in Arabic they say, Ar-Rashi radiya bima rakib. The one who is walking, he'll be happy with any ride. If you're walking 30, 50, 50, 70, 100 kilometers and somebody offers you a bicycle, you're not saying, no, 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 you have a BMW, we should talk. I don't want your bicycle. Whatever you get, you'll take it. So he says, Ya Allah, whatever khayr you bring to me, I will take it. But the other meaning of this is also important. Musa alayhi salam felt guilty because he did kill someone and he did escape. And he knows a principle that we learn in the Quran, in al-hasanat, يُذْهِبْنَ سَيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds, get rid of bad deeds. So whatever other opportunity to do something good you give me, I will take that opportunity also. Meaning he just saw these two girls that needed help, he just did some khair. And he came back and he sat down, and now he's asking, Ya Allah, if there's any other volunteer opportunity, anybody else I can help, let me know, I need the good deeds. So رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. From this we also learn, and if you think about this, that every opportunity to help someone, because of the words anzanta ilayya, any opportunity to help someone was revealed by Allah in my life and in your life. If somebody came in your life and you could have helped them, that was actually something revealed by Allah, sent down from the skies as an opportunity for you and me. And Allah is telling us, if someone like Musa alayhi salam is faqir, then you and I are definitely more faqir for any good deed. The other thing here, that when he makes this dua, I want you to go back to what he said when he first left Egypt. He said, hopefully Allah will guide me, sawa as-sabil, asa an yahdiyani rabbi, sawa as-sabil. Maybe Allah will guide me to the straightest possible path. And what's beautiful is the straightest possible path led him to get married. Like Allah is actually even describing the merits and the beauty of getting married in the story in this strange way. But anyway, so he helps these girls and he's sitting in the shade. These girls go back home because they only came to the lake to feed their animals. So they go back home, but they go back home early because usually they wait for all the men to finish and then they go back home. Now they show up home 5 hours early. And their old father, who cannot work anymore, he says, basically, the Quran doesn't tell us, you can assume, logically, why are you home early? What happened? And they say, well, there was this man, he was very strong, he just took our animals, and these girls, they deal with men outside all the time. So when they talk about Musa alayhi salam, they're telling their father, this was not like other men. His behavior was different. He was not looking at us the way other men look at us. He wasn't talking to us like other men talk to us. He didn't help us and he followed us home or he was staring, nothing. He just went back under the shade and he just disappeared. And the father is very intelligent. He knows that he sends these girls out every day for work in a corrupt society. And if you're living in a corrupt society, finding a good husband for your daughter can be very difficult. You don't know who's who. Everybody's bad out there. And you want to find a good match for your daughter. So he, even when he hears this description from his daughters, he realizes this is a good man. In his head, he's already got a plan. And the father understands his daughter. So the way she's talking about him, he can tell she liked his character also. So what does he do? He sends one of them back to get him. Now, if I'm a father and I have two daughters, and I'm going to go get a man, it's safer to send two daughters. Doesn't it make sense? Send both girls. But we find in the Quran, فَجَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. He sent one of them. And she came walking shyly. She's shy because she's alone and she's nervous. Perhaps she's also shy because her father sends something, she kind of likes him. And it's a final test for her. He already puts tawakkul in Allah when he puts her outside every day. He's already in this situation. He trusts his daughter. He trusts his daughter. So he sends her out and he says, bring this man. فَجَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. Now when Musa alayhi salam sees this girl again, he's like, what do you want? You need more help? Why are you here? So she feels shy and she says, إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ. So she makes sure he understands, no, I'm not interested. My father is calling you. إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا. So he can pay you for what you gave us, for the help you gave us. He wants to pay you. Now the simple question is, did Musa alayhi salam do this for the sake of Allah? Or did he do this to make money? He did it as an act of ibadah. That's what he did. His niyyah was for Allah. But this woman comes and says, my father wants to pay you for your work. Musa alayhi salam could just turn around and say, جزاكِ khayran, but I did that fi sabilillah. I don't want anything from this dunya. Thank you so much. I'm going to go back and make dua to Allah. Because I did it for the niyyah of ibadah. That's it. But Musa alayhi salam says, sure, let's go get paid. They go. So why did he accept it? Why? Because Allah is teaching us how to understand dua. When Musa alayhi salam said to Allah, Ya Allah, whatever good you send my way, my back is broken. I will not be picky. And when this woman comes and says, my father would like to pay you, he understands Allah just answered his dua. He doesn't need to be more picky. He doesn't need to be more Islamic than Islam. I'm not saying this is for the sake of Allah, I don't want anything dunya. Yes, I need dunya. I just asked Allah for some dunya. So he goes. And when he goes to the father, he tells the father, asks him, what are you doing here, young man? I've never seen you before. They have a conversation. And the two girls are also listening from the side. And he says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. When he came to him, he told him the whole story. What's the whole story? I was born in Egypt. I was raised in the palace. I accidentally killed someone. I'm wanted for murder. I escaped the country. I'm a fugitive. I'm an illegal alien. I don't have a visa here. I don't have any citizenship here. I have no job here. I have no money. I am bankrupt. And here I am. So now the father knows that this young man, he's a good guy. He's a good young man. He's honest. But the world's biggest military wants to kill him, and he's homeless,
and he's bankrupt, and all of this, and the girl calls the father. The girl says, Ya abati istajirhu. Dad, I love you, give him a job. Dad, give him a, she says, the girl says to the father, give him a job. The father understood, if he gives him a job, there are two young girls in the house and this young man in the house. You can't give him a job, this doesn't work. So she is speaking kinaya, she's speaking indirectly, give him a job means, can you marry me to him? I know other men outside, they're not good like this man. I like this man, I like him enough, I trust him enough that he can work in this house. Remember, they don't even trust men enough that they can go to the same lake, remember that? But she trusts this man enough that he can work in this house. And she says it to her father, we can hire him, he can work for us. The father understood the girl. And he goes to Musa alayhi salam. Inni uridu an unkiha ihda ibnatayya hatayn. I want to marry one of my two girls to you. Now, think about the marriage proposal. This young man came and said, I am illegal, I'm wanted, I have a criminal record, wanted for murder, I don't have a job. And the father says after 5 minutes, yeah, I think you should marry my daughter, it's a good idea. And he says, the father says, but you have to work for me for 8 years. And if you want to work for 10 years, up to you. You have the choice. You have to work 8 years or 10. Now look at the genius and the wisdom of the father. This is a good man, and a good man is hard to find. But you know what? If the man doesn't have the degree you wanted, he doesn't have the job you wanted, he doesn't have the papers you wanted, etc., etc., but he's a good man, that much you know now, 100%, that's a good man, then all the other things can come from Allah. Goodness, I don't know if that will come from the sky or not. The character is there. All the other things we can help him with. So when he says, you have to work for me, he's not asking Musa for a favor, he's doing Musa a favor. Now Musa has a job. Now Musa alayhi salam is married to one of the girls. The father is also happy because one of his girls is married. Now they also have a protector in the house. Everybody benefits. Everybody benefits. But you can imagine that if we were talking about today's society, some Muslim neighbor, hey, so I heard you're getting your daughter married. Yeah, yeah. Who are you getting married to? Oh, this guy, he's not from our village. You're getting her married to an outsider? Must be a VIP, some important guy. Oh no, he's just homeless. Oh my God, what are you doing? You have such a wonderful daughter, you're ruining her future. Why are you getting her married to this person? And people talk, don't they? People talk. And when people start talking, people say, I don't know, this marriage is a good guy, but people are doing too much talking. I don't think we can go forward with this marriage. Right? This is what we do in our societies. This is what we do in our cultures. If we don't make marriage easy, and if we don't make marriage based on the right reasons are character, the right reasons are integrity, the right reasons are honesty. If we don't make marriage easy, and if we stop listening to our daughters, because we listen to everybody else, everybody talks, the uncles are talking, the cousins are talking, the in-laws are talking, the neighbors are talking, everybody's talking. But the one person the father needs to be listening to is his daughter. That's the one person. She's an adult. And the one thing the father needs to be checking is the character. And he tested the character too. He sent his daughter alone. He tested. And he heard the whole story. And nobody comes to the house and says, by the way, you know, and tells the story that Musa alayhi salam tells in order to impress someone. That's not an impressive story. That's a pretty good reason to say, you know what, I think you should leave. So he's seen his honesty firsthand. And so when you find that, then everybody's noise can stay. You make the right decision for your son and your daughter. That's the teaching Allah has given us. That's the beauty Allah has given us in this surah. And so with that, what I want to sort of emphasize is when we make the door to nikah difficult, when we make the road to getting married difficult, then the road to haram becomes easier and easier and easier. And we cannot blame a non-Muslim society, a kafir society, fitna, the media, the internet, TikTok, this, that. You can't blame anyone else. Their job is to make the haram easy. Our job, Muslims, our job is to make the halal easy. So when we make the halal difficult, then we don't get to blame anybody else.
We have to blame ourselves. Young men have to become more serious about work and about integrity and about character. Young women have to think more about what they, you know, what kind of husbands they should be looking for. Fathers, in many cultures, it's hard for fathers to have conversations with their daughters about marriage.
They just say, oh, he's got a good job, just do it.
Yeah, but he's, look at, he's smoking weed, he's doing the
that's okay, I know the family. He'll become better after he has a baby.
This kind of nonsense, this kind of idiocy. The Quran came to save us from these kinds of behaviors. So my dua for all of you, especially those of us that are fathers, that our children are able to find good spouses, and Allah makes us a means by which their journey towards marriage is made easy and it's not made difficult. And they can have good, normal, honest conversations with us about what they do want and about what they don't want, so that we don't force them or pressure them into situations that will create fitna for the entire community. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim.
I hope you guys enjoyed that video clip. My team and I have been working tirelessly to try to create as many resources for Muslims to give them first steps in understanding the Quran, all the way to the point where they can have a deep, profound understanding of the Quran. We are students of the Quran ourselves, and we want you to be students of the Quran alongside us. Join us for this journey on bayinatv.com, where thousands of hours of work have already been put in. And don't be intimidated, it's step by step by step, so you can make learning the Quran a part of your lifestyle. There's lots of stuff available on YouTube, but it's all over the place. If you want an organized approach to studying the Quran beginning to end for yourself, your kids, your family, and even among peers, that would be the way to go. Sign up for bayinatv.com.